I'm not
Yeah.
saying it's like, oh, you chase me and I give you just a good morning text, or I only respond when you text me and I never text you back, or I'm never texting you first, or I'm never calling you or whatever. You know, I'm not setting up dates. It's always on you to set up dates. But I'll be 100%. If I'm always the one initiating conversation, if I'm always the one setting the dates, if I'm always the one that's making the plans, I'm gonna lose interest.
What up, what up, what up, what up? It's Three Brothers No Sense, your favorite barbershop style podcast. I am Tavares Ferguson, aka Ferg. Join my co-hosts, Buff and Rozzy. Fellas, tell them what's on your minds.
One Piece is coming with a live action to Netflix. And usually I'm not excited about anime going to live action, but Oda, the writer of One Piece, is actually like really involved with it. I've seen the stills, I've seen the trailers. It actually looks really, really good. So I'm just super duper excited about it. It drops on this Friday. So when you guys hear this on Monday, it will be out. So if you ever thought about kind of getting into some anime or something like that, this is a perfect time to start back with One Piece and try to check out some of the live action. So I'm super excited about it. Hopefully it's good. We'll see. But speaking of, oh, go
is
ahead.
Is it a series or is it going to be a movie?
It's going to be a series. So they're doing a whole season, based off of the first chapter or the first arc. Maybe the second arc. I don't know exactly what all's in the synopsis for the first season, but they may be using the first and second arc or just the first arc. They're going to make a season. So if you guys don't know what One Piece is, One Piece is like one of the longest running animes in history. They've got over 1,000 episodes. So that just lets you know how like popular it is. It's the number one anime ever, high, most selling, all that good stuff. So he has a huge fan base. So this is one that a lot of people are looking at to see, is it going to be good or not? And I mean, from what I'm hearing, everybody's like anticipating that it's going to be pretty good. So, but on top of
they
that,
they said the Flash was going to be good.
Yeah, they did. Blue Beetle was good. Blue Beetle was pretty good, so, you know.
Blue Beetle was better than... Blue Beetle might have been the best non-Batman DC movie.
I'll accept that. I'll accept that.
Over the first Wonder Woman?
The first Wonder Woman was kind of slow, but I think it built up a lot. Like, I'll put those neck and neck, but... What I would say Blue Beetle was, it was more comical. I love Nana.
Yeah.
Was the star of the show. I mean, I think there was a lot of representation in it. It was more modern day. I feel like they dealt with some socio-political situations. So I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was definitely for the culture. The Mexican culture or Hispanic culture, but it was definitely for the culture. You got that dynamic and for, you know, black families are a little bit like that too. Just talk, you know, janking each other, talking about each other, that dynamic there, but still kind of really close knit family. You know, the whole generations kind of being involved with it. So I think that dynamic just really hit home. So for me, Blue Beetle, I probably would put it above Wonder Woman, mainly because it's more fun to watch. Like Wonder Woman had a lot more drama, and like Ferg said, it was slower at the beginning and had some good action in there. I think Blue Beetle gave you a lot more comedy and it was just more fun to watch in the beginning, and then you got the action. Now the CGI wasn't as good, but it still was pretty dope. And the other part about Blue Beetle is it was made for HBO Max. It wasn't even made for the big screen. So, you know, for them to come out, drop it in the big screen, in the movie theaters, and it still look like, you know, a actual theatrical release, I think was a testament to it as well.
Yeah. Like I said, I could put it almost, I was impressed enough, and I'm probably gonna get some hate on this too. It almost felt like a Marvel movie.
Mm-hmm.
It was lighthearted enough. You know, I feel like DC tries to get really too deep and too, like, take themselves too seriously sometimes. And Blue Beetle did a really good job. I hate that it hasn't done well in showing.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I think it just hit $80 million. I think it had $100 million budget. They're anticipating it going to about $150-140 million, which will make it semi break even when you take out the marketing costs. But again, they thought they were just going to drop it straight on HBO Max. So, I mean, any money they get from the theater is actually good money.
And I don't think they did a good job like marketing. I mean, I think the marketing was subpar too. It was nothing like, and he's a lesser known character. You know, you got to think out the Justice League, Aquaman, I mean, Superman, Batman, Aquaman, and Wonder Woman are the big names. They're the Mount Rushmore of DC. Then Flash. I mean, Flash is up there too. I take that back. And so Blue Beetle is the first lesser known character. Blue Beetle is kind of like how they came out with Avengers. A lot of people, if we know the Avengers now, but a lot of people didn't know who these Avenger characters were in the beginning. They were obscure characters. And the marketing and how they presented the MCU made them who they are today. It was, you know, Spider-Man and the X-Men were who they were marketing. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah,
that's my little comic knowledge.
Yeah. But
it was a good one.
Yeah, so. It definitely was. But I wanted to piggyback on last week's episode. We talked about the debate and everything. And I just throw it out there. Vivek is back in the news, but not in a good way, because Eminem is suing him to stop using his music, because Eminem ain't down for the Republican Party at all. And so he was like, nah, you can't use my music when you do stuff. And so I'm liking that, you know, he Eminem kind of took a stand. It's like, nah, you're not using my music to try to hype your fans up. So Vivek, stop using Eminem stuff. So that's all I got.
Well,
ain't that your people?
Yeah.
Ain't you a Vivek supporter?
Nah. Like I said, Vivek don't know nothing. He's a talking head.
Speaking of Vivek, he got a big endorsement this week. Did y'all hear about it?
Nah, who's that?
None other than OJ Simpson.
Oh.
OJ Simpson
Say less.
Said he was watching Meet the Press, and he said other than Vivek's foreign policy, he rocking with him right now. So I guess it's more like a preliminary endorsement. I guess he'll sit back and continue to watch. But right now, the juice is for Vivek.
So. Yeah.
Vivek probably would have had OJ locked up. That's what's so crazy.
I don't know. You know,
they like something about
Vivek. They like the good ones.
There must be like 20%20% of the good ones, because what is it? Trump has about 20% of the black vote now versus 6% last election. So
8%.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And you know, you lose a black delegation vote, then you're in for it.
Yeah.
Speaking of black delegation, I'll let you go, Buff.
That's all I had, actually.
The Mexican delegation has officially gave us our own official drinking holiday, Cinco de Agosto. We're winning the Battle of Montgomery. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, they approved it and they said we can have it.
Go look at the video, latest video post.
Gotta check that out. I'm liking the multiculturalism that's going on right now. I don't know if y'all have seen that the Billboard Top 100 charts, there's 3 country music songs in the top 3 spots, and that's the second time it's happened in since they've been doing the Billboard Top 100. So it's kind of cool that 3 country songs are tearing up the charts right now. I actually like country music, so I'm good with that, but I have no idea what three songs they are.
It is one that is super, forgot the name of, they actually talked about it during the debate.
Or the one that the guy from Richmond.
It was one of those good old boy songs.
Richmond, Virginia, oh, man. Yeah.
Try it in my town or something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's different.
Oh, no, okay. That's different. And that still might be. That was just like Tried in a Small Town.
Yeah.
I think that's when you're talking about Rise.
Yeah.
But they mentioned it on the debate. During the debate, they actually posted him. It looked like he made it at a.
In his front yard, backyard, rather.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly what it looks like. So, let's go ahead and jump back into the show. So, I didn't have much. Just excited to get this show going. Getting ready to head on another outing with the family. Doing a cruise with the family. My wife and kids. And we're taking two other families with us. So, looking forward to it. But, Ryza, do you have a joke for us? Or was... the Eminem Vivek thing, your joke?
No, I don't, but Sophie should. Hold on 1 second. Let me go grab her.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey there.
Hello.
You got on your head.
I got my bonnet on my head.
Okay. Nice.
Because I was laying in my bed.
Oh, we woke you. We got you out your bed.
Technically.
Were you getting your beauty slumber?
Not exactly slumber, just chillaxing.
Chillaxing?
Yeah.
So is that like a mix of chill and laxing?
I don't know. No. I just know it's a word. It means chill out, chilling out.
That's what the cool kids said?
No, that's what I said. Is that what the cool kids say? I'm a pretty cool thing. Technically, yes. Yeah, I say it and I'm a cool kid.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. I've never heard your dad say it, so, you know. Yeah. And then there's that.
A cool kid, daddy. You're the editor of the videos.
I'm a nerd.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I did say that.
You said your dad was a nerd?
Yeah. He watches documentaries about comics instead of reading the comics.
I do read the comics as well, though.
Yeah, but I catch you watching a whole bunch of documentaries about the comics.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of documentaries, man, Ladies Night on Netflix is another one that's really, really good. I don't know if we mentioned that. Buff, you might have mentioned it or brought it up earlier. But go check that out, man. It's a pretty cool documentary about like women in the hip hop industry.
The block party I went to, a lot of them were there. Queen Latifah, Remy Ma, the lady that does Ladies First with Queen Latifah. I can't think of that. But yeah.
Angie Martinez.
No. That's it'll come to me.
That was Ladies Night. Never mind.
Yeah.
Was Sweetie there or no?
No shade to Sweetie.
Who are the hot people these days?
He's one of them.
Yeah, Sweetie, Doja Cat. Who else is on there?
We're getting off topic.
Oh, we are getting off topic. So I'm sorry. Go ahead, baby.
It's time for my joke. I'm just supposed to actually sit through the podcast.
Oh, my bad. Go ahead.
What do you call it?
Your joke better be funny.
You can get back to chillaxing.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, you're supposed to say it. So you're the cool kid.
Oh, my bad.
What do you call two ducks and a cow?
Crackers and milk?
Crackers and milk.
What?
No.
That's
that. No, that is it.
It is it?
Crackers and milk.
Oh, is it?
He got it. Well, wow. Now what are we gonna do? He did a joke.
Hey, it only took 4 years.
I gave you guys too long again.
Yeah.
This
happened last time when I first.
I'm gonna cut it out, and I'm just gonna let you say it.
I jumped on it.
He just kind of whispered it though.
Yeah. Good job, girl.
Quackers and milk, so daddy can edit it.
There you go. I'm going to edit it. All right, so what we got? Who's first? Buff, you didn't get one last week, so.
All right. Let's set this thing off, man. If you're listening to us on Content Vills powered by Inspire You, thank you for tuning in. And if you're listening to any of the podcast platforms, we appreciate you. Make sure you subscribe. Tell a friend or two to subscribe as well. We've been talking a lot about politics with the debate being last week. But I kind of want to talk about a politician, but not necessarily politics, although it'll probably delve into that. So we all know we had the shooting in Jacksonville over the, what was it? Was it the weekend? Over the weekend on the 26th, that was Friday. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we had the shooting where, I'm not going to mention his name, white shooter, first tried to attack a HBCU, EWU, Edward Waters University. He was turned away, and so he wound up going to a Dollar General, a Family Dollar, one of them, and he killed three people, one by the name of Angela Carr, 52 years old, AJ Laguerre, 19 years old, and Gerald Galleon, who was 29 years old, has a 4-year-old daughter, by the way, that he's leaving behind. But basically, he specifically wanted to kill black people. You know, he embraced the swastikas and all that kind of stuff. So I said all that to ask this question. DeSantis came and spoke to, you know, the family members of the deceased and a lot of the community people in the area. And he was booed and stuff like that. And a lot of people are saying that DeSantis has blood on his hands. And they're saying that because of how he's been towards how black history is being taught in schools in the state of Florida. And, he's pretty much pro-gun and has done what he can to make it easier to get guns in the state of Florida. Do you two gentlemen agree that DeSantis has blood on his hands?
Yes. And the reason I say that is it reminds me of a similar conversation we had when Deion Sanders, Coach Prime, talked about black athletes and what he wanted in a black player. I feel like a lot of these politicians, a lot of these, especially conservative politicians, probably feel just like DeSantis. But they have enough tact, generally, or usually, to not say exactly what they're thinking and to put it in, not only to put it in effect, to champion it and to villainize anything that goes against their cause. So, just like how Deion, you remember when Deion was talking about when he looks for a quarterback, he wants somebody that comes from a two-parent household and all this stuff. It's like, yeah, a lot of coaches probably think that, right? But they don't say it because they know it's more harmful to good. I can say or do or whatever I want behind the scenes. It's like Coach Manning never had a black quarterback. I'm pretty sure there's plenty of white people who hate, who cringe every time Black History Month comes up, who cringe every time anything talks about slavery or, you know, affirmative action or anything dealing with civil rights or not shining their glorious white history in the best of light. But they just deal with it like the rest of the world. DeSantis has put a target on He villainizes this stuff. I'm almost not surprised that it's not too long after he made his big national presence at the debate. I wouldn't be surprised if there is a letter or something referencing the debate and that just being a huge manifesto saying this is the thing that triggered it. I don't know. Like, it's bound to happen because we talked about the U.S. as a whole and this identity, and I think we're divided. But he was the spark. He was the fuel that some sick individual needed to make it happen. You know, there's usually a trigger. So if anything, he's a trigger. Just like Trump was a trigger on January 6th, he was a trigger.
Can we RICO him? We should RICO him. No.
That's scary because they're playing ball now. They're playing chess.
Yeah, I semi agree. But I don't like the overuse of that word, blood on your hands. You got blood on your hands. Transitive property. You can say, if that's the case, you can say everybody that voted for him has blood on their hands, right? Like this, it's not like that. His rhetoric. Oh, okay. All right. Well, I mean, truthfully, that's what you have to go to because his rhetoric hasn't changed, right? He is running on the things that his constituents want to hear. And so does he have a responsibility to watch what he say and reach across the aisle and do the better for humanity and all that stuff? He's a politician. Technically, he doesn't. His job is to do what his constituents tell him to do, right? And so ultimately, I think, like you said, Ferg, I ultimately put it on the folks who voted him in, the folks who voted the state senators in and the state Congress in and you know, the legislators in. Those are the folks that actually made a lot of these laws, that actually passed it. Yeah, DeSantis signed it, but ultimately he didn't. Again, going back to the little video where he's like, we got to go back to elementary school, social studies, and talk about the legislative branch and the executive branch. DeSantis is the executive branch, right? He is executing the laws that are on the books. He might be pushing some, he might be talking and having that rhetoric out there, but the laws that we talk about that make gun laws easier, right? It's easy to get guns there. You won't do background checks. I don't know if any of that would have stopped this shooter, right? Like, if unless he has a history of mental illness or something like that, you can't do anything. And then you talk about, the FBI isn't doing anything about white nationalism, right? They actually listed it as one of the biggest national security threat is white nationalism. They put that into it, but they're not doing anything about it, right? That dude that's all about the swastikas and neo-Nazism and all the stuff, whatever he's on at the time, nobody was... They ain't have a sting on him, but the Black Panthers, they damn sure put a sting on them real quick, right? Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, there's so many more people that's involved with this Jacksonville shooter than just DeSantis. So, no, I don't want to put just the onus on him. I mean, it's everybody involved that got him to where he is. Everybody that's involved in the legislature that got that legislature or those laws passed. It's everybody involved that comes along with rewriting history, right? I mean, is it just DeSantis, or is it the Daughters of the Confederacy that's back out there trying to change on what we teach in schools and everything like that? That Department of Education that's trying to whitewash it. Everybody has blood on their hands if it's just DeSantis. But along with that, I agree that they booed him. I agree that we need to stand up and say, hey, you got to take some responsibility for this too, and make sure that people know he is the reason why his rhetoric is the reason we got to vote him out. And so if you want to tie it to him, that's cool. But it's just, it's almost like calling people toxic at this point, saying, oh, he has blood on his hands. I think it's a little bit too far.
Yeah, I don't use the word. I mean, blood on his hands. I don't get caught up in the
verbiage.
I'm more so like, he is the flame. He's the person that's...
Oh, he's stoking it. Yeah, Trump, he's definitely stoking it. Yeah.
So Trump didn't sign a legislative anything to get January 6th to happen. He's the person who built up that energy, created this environment where this is more acceptable. Even to the point where you're blaming you, and I'll blame them too. Like, people have to be smarter for putting him in office. but they put him in office because of the shit he was saying. Like, it's not like, hey, we need a candidate that's going to say this. Like, excuse me, I'll say this. It's like, I'm going to say this crap. And you're like, yeah. 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 So he was already saying it. They just put him in office because they liked what he was saying. He was already saying it. Hence why he got put in office.
That's not how politicians work. Everything that a politician says has been vetted usually. And that's what his campaign's like, yes, let's go with this. It's going to play well with the base. It's going to play well with this. Like, they're scripted. So their talking points are very scripted. And that's why they say them over and over and over again, because their team has said, this will play. This will play. Now, granted, they have to, they got to sign off on them. Like, okay, I'll say it, like you said, but it's not off the dome him just saying this stuff. He probably believes it. Oh, but
so he's a pawn.
His team is putting that together. Most of them are.
He's a victim.
So I disagree with both of you guys.
Oh, you disagree with both of us? Interesting.
Yes. Tupac famously had to go to court because someone shot at some cops and they blamed it on his lyrics. And I didn't agree with that then. I can't agree with it now. I think sick individuals are going to find a reason to be sick no matter what's said or done. If your mind is that warped to where you're willing to do something like that, you will find anything that convinces you to do that. So it doesn't matter what the rhetoric is. The reason why I think we can use Trump as a better example of what happened on the 6th is because not only did he build up the case that this is a lie, it was stolen, this is a lie. He invited people to the city. He gave them a speech personally and literally told them to march to the Capitol and that he would be with them. DeSantis hasn't done anything close to that. Now, yes, he may have said things that this shooter agreed with, like, we need to, curb back Black history teaching and things like that. But I mean, crazy people, in this case DeSantis, but bad people say things that bad people gravitate to all the time and agree with. That doesn't mean that you're to blame for their crime. Hell, many Americans believe that we shouldn't have been in Kuwait. So did Bin Laden. So did everybody who believed that we shouldn't be in Kuwait be tagged with what Bin Laden did on 9/11? No. Now, if DeSantis was out here saying things like Bill Bennett once said, when he said, if you want to lower the crime rate, one of the things you can do is abort every Black baby, then, okay, now we're more in line with he got blood on his hands because he's vaguely suggested killing Black people. Mm-hmm. I think it's a reach. And while I disagree with what he's proposed in that state, vehemently disagree, I think it's a reach to say, hey, we don't want white people to feel bad about what we did in the past. We don't want to tell the complete story of slavery, making woke a four-letter word. It is a four-letter word, but you know what I mean? Like a bad word or whatever like that. So I can't co-sign that one. I think this was a sick, for that matter, Dylann Roof. I mean, like we've had plenty of people who have done crazy things without hearing any rhetoric. My last point is this. People like this guy, they don't need people to encourage them to do something like this. The election, just the mere election of Obama, with nobody using any type of rhetoric that DeSantis has used, just the mere election of Obama increased white nationalists, increased white terrorism and things like that. They don't need anybody to say anything to him because it's already there in their heart.
I agree with you on that one.
And I guess one. Yeah. Yeah. And I agree with you in principle. Like for me, when I say blood on your hands, I'm not saying he's solely responsible. And I think I kind of open he's just as responsible like the rest of these politicians. Like it's the system you're in or the system he's creating it just leans more to this. That the same way I'm saying the people that elected him, like it's you have blood on, like you're creating this environment. We're creating this thing. We're normalizing these things. And until you fight against it, you're you're allowing it to happen. You're, and then for him, not only is he allowing it to happen, I feel like he's fanning the flames of this fire for these sick people and stuff like that. Yeah, they're going to kill somebody, but hey, it might've been 6 months from now. I was like, that's what I needed. You know, that's what I said. We might see a manifesto, because there's always something that, usually there's something that just is the catalyst for this.
Yeah, but I mean, when you think to Buff's comment, right? Like, you got to think about what he did going there, speaking out against it, saying it was wrong, is a far cry from when white people were killing people back in the 1950s, and the governors and mayors and everything wouldn't say anything. They just kind of were quiet about it, right? So, like, that's the, I think, the big difference. And that's why I was talking about the whole, I'll lay some blaming on him, like the ease of getting the guns and all of that stuff, but I don't put the blood on his hands, because it's like, he never went out and said, hey, go kill black people. And when a black person is killed, he's like, yo, that's wrong. What are y'all doing? Like, you know, so I think there's a very different shift of trying to lay the blame on him versus, like you talked about, the system just encouraging it more now, or not more, actually less than what it was, but it's still not enough for us, right? The system still encourages it, or at least excuses it a little bit. They may get off a little easier. They're going to be treated in the media better than, say, if a black person killed a white person. Those are the things that are still there and still prevalent for us.
Okay. I can agree to that.
Well, good question, man.
Yeah, I actually changed it from what I was going to ask once that happened. I was like, you know, ask that why that's hot.
Yeah.
You're up, Brazzy.
All right. We've talked a little bit about this when we were talking about, you know, men wanting to be kept and all of that. But I saw a post, somebody was just saying men want to be chased these days.
And I just read that.
Yeah. Yes, yeah.
It was like, yeah, I'm not chasing you, princess, or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, like that. So I've been seeing that shared by a few people. And so I just want to ask you guys, I mean, do guys want to be chased nowadays?
I think that's probably a question better for the women who are posting it. So my answer is only a guess. And my guess is it's not so much that men want to be chased. They're just not chasing women like we used to. Like they're saying, like we've said that men are now realizing their worth. I think it's a combination of all that. I think some men are just realizing, man, you know, I'm a good catch in myself, so I ain't got to chase nobody. Like, I'll put forth an effort, I'll approach a woman, but I'm not doing all that chasing. So it could be that. It could be simply that women feel like men feel like they should approach them, which if we're all about equality, then that should be okay. So I don't know exactly what it is, but those are my guesses. It's kind of annoying seeing that post, but I'm not in the battlefield of dating, so I don't really know quite what's going on, but those are my guesses.
I'm similar to you, Buff. I've been out of the game too long to know exactly what's going on. But what I think you're right. I think guys have kind of started realizing more their not even their worth. I feel like women have become more aggressive and sexuality is more open than it was. And so they don't have to put in the same effort that they used to. Women are more sexually free. I mean, we talk about sneaky links. It's all these new terms for just like having casual sex and stuff like that. So why am I chasing a woman? You know, why am I chasing people? We're just not as hell bent. And I don't know what they want them to chase for. Like, are they trying to chase to be in a relationship? Are they trying to chase to have sex? Exactly what do they want men to do? I guess that's the question. What do you want? Is you want more men to come to you as this, you know, this, you know, like, I'm trying to be with you, or does a guy need to approach you at the bar? I mean, it might lend itself to one of the questions you asked earlier, this year, Rising, where we talked about club culture and bottle service and stuff like that, where guys are at the club, they're posted up and they want women to approach them, right? Like, we got a table, hey, how y'all doing, whatever the case may be. It's because it's a game now. It's a different game. Women are like, women are coming to guys to like, oh, we want to be at your table. We want to be in your area. Not all women, you know, you guys have your own money and all that stuff, and you're not searching for a set out and all that stuff. But women are becoming more aggressive. So like, dog, we get a section. If we went to the club tonight and we got a section, we don't have to take any chicks with us because there's going to be women at the club who would want to come to our section. Mm-hmm. And so we expect them to kind of approach or give us that hint that they want to come to the section. So I'm not going to the bar and offering to buy you a drink. I'm not doing these things that I guess women were accustomed to. I don't think guys want to be chased. I just think the game has changed a little bit and we're changing the way we look at relationships or the dating game. And so are women. And when it's not normal or what they've been used to, it's easy just to say men want to be chased or kept or whatever the case may be.
Women, we really need y'all to weigh in on this one, because y'all saying men want to be chased, but I also see on a daily basis, you guys complaining about men being in your inboxes. Please don't send me a good morning text.
Grand Rising, all that stuff. You're right.
A woman ain't got time for a WYD text. So is it that men are chasing y'all, but y'all are complaining about how they chasing you? So they just throw their hands up and say, well, fine, I'll let you come to me. So I personally didn't understand what was wrong with the good morning text. I have heard women explain that if that's all you say, then yeah. Well, then it's not the good morning text that you have a problem with. It's that they're not showing the proper interest that it takes to get you. They're not following it up. That's the issue. It's not the what you're doing text. I think, Rise, you made a TikTok on this one time on the what you're doing text. Like, if you ask a woman what you're doing, you asking her because you're trying to see if she's available. You may want to take her out. You may want to go get some drinks. I may got some tickets to a show. But you talking about a woman that's paying $1,000 in bills and you ain't got time for that. Okay, well, then you miss out.
Right.
So I'm a little confused on that, too, because they're saying they're doing all the chasing, but then also complaining how we do the chasing. So which one is it?
And I didn't take it as like just the approaching piece of it. I felt like it was past the first introduction we met. And now you feel like, you know, I'm saying you should be chasing me. You should be trying to win me over. And what I will say is, yes, I want to be chased. Yes. Yes. Because guess what? I have the pick of the litter. Let's just call it what it is. Like, when, you know, the Kevin Samuels high value man, right? Like, if you're trying to get these high value men, if you're trying to get the good guys out there, they have options. And, you know, I always talked about, I know when I'm in a relationship, when I wake up and I ain't got no more. It's like, that is the chase that I'm talking about. There is this race, right? And I really feel like women, I always talk about this whole going back to, they want a 1950s, 1920s relationship where the guy's courting them and they don't really have to do anything. And the guy's like putting all their effort in and you ain't doing nothing but sitting there and looking cute and going out on the date and laughing and joking with them. And you think that's enough. That's not enough now. Guys are to the point where it's like, we talked a little bit about it when we talked about the post about guys want emotional relationships with their friends and they just want the women for sex and stuff like that. It's that we don't necessarily need a woman for that emotional support. Guys are supporting each other more, right? And now you talked about the whole sex is a lot more easy to get now. They're more or a lot more free. So I don't need a relationship for sex anymore. So you do have to chase me if you want a relationship. You have to sell me. You have to court me just like I have to court you. It's not I set my eyes on you. You're the most beautiful girl in the world. So I'm just going to try everything I can to get you anymore. It really is. You're beautiful. I approached you and got your number. Now you got to keep me, shawty. Like, you have to chase me a little bit.
He's playing hard to get.
So, and you know, it should be reciprocal, right? I'm not yeah. saying it's like, oh, you chase me and I give you just a good morning text, or I only respond when you text me and I never text you back, or I'm never texting you first, or I'm never calling you or whatever. You know, I'm not setting up dates. It's always on you to set up dates. But I'll be 100%. If I'm always the one initiating conversation, if I'm always the one setting the dates, if I'm always the one that's making the plans, I'm going to lose interest. So, because that's not what I'm looking for. That's not what I need. I need somebody to be my helpmate and be the person that's going to bring something to the table. I hate to say it like that, but like, take something off my plate.
And I think part of it is it's maturity.
True.
And the people asking this question are probably more mature or older, you know, as the late great Kevin Samuels would say, the leftovers. all jokes, people, all jokes. But what I'm saying is, when we were young, and when you were 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, what was the most important thing in the world? Come on, say it. You can say it. You can say it. And so that's when it was the prize, right? Now that, you know, the average guy has had his fair share, and I'm not knocking. I still love it. You know, gets me up in the morning, you know, but at the end of the day, that the priority of that is not, it's not the same, right? There's so many more things that I have to prioritize with my life. I have a friend who's, you know, about our age, just got in a relationship. He's dating somebody who's a little younger, and he's just like, she just wants to have sex all the time. It's like, I'm cool, but it's like, man, I got to do. And you know, like, I have to do, and it's, love it is great, but at the same time, it's not the most important thing in the world to me anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, are you pouring into me the same way I'm pouring into you? Because I always take it away from man versus woman. It's like, just, it's human nature. I want somebody who acts like or shows me they're just as interested in me as I am in them. Why would you would be mad, women, if you met a guy and you had to fix all the dates? You had to initiate all the calls. You had to do the things that I think a lot of women, I'm assuming, correct me if I'm wrong, you want guys to do. Like, it could be 70-30. It could be something. I think, Buff, you talk about when Tabitha does certain things, like when she treats you well on Father's Day or your birthday, or, you know, she takes you, like, those things mean a lot. Mm-hmm. Those are things that wives do that make guys feel great. And you don't understand why. Those are the things that keep a man, right? Those are the things that keep me interested. When my wife makes me feel like just wanted and appreciated, and that she shows that she still cares and loves me, those things are the things that get me through the day. You know, why am I doing this? Why am I spending my time? Why am I just with her? Because she's giving me the things I need. Honestly, ladies, they can get put anywhere. It is what it is. I literally was talking to another gentleman, a single gentleman, yesterday we did lunch, and he was talking about he's in a fairly new relationship, and the things, or the way his new lady is teaching him and doing and bringing to the table, all this is new. He was married for years. Like, he's so impressed, and he's just like, this is so different for me. Like, to put it in better terms, he reminded me of the way I talk about Z. Like, she was a breath of fresh air. Like, she does things that nobody else has done for me, or with me, or says and encourages me. Like, those things mean a lot. And I'm not saying be a crutch, ladies, because black men have been leaning on black women a lot these years. I'm not saying that, but encourage him to be the best version of himself. Encourage him to be better. Not nag, but encourage him. And give him the same. It's the gold. This is so crazy. We have this huge thing called the golden rule, and I'm done. We have this huge thing called the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. But that stops when it comes to dating. Your job, your kids, your friends, everything in the world, those rules apply. except when it comes to dating.
Yeah. I'm not paying for anything. I'm not coming to pick you up. I'm not going to meet you. I'm going to do this. At that point, especially like you talk about our age group, it's different. It's like, well, I don't have all that. I don't have all that to give. Right. So I'm sorry. Because yeah.
You ain't a real man anyway. So.
Right. I guess not. I mean, I was watching a video and they were talking about it kind of flipped it when the girl was like, you know, you're asking me to do wife stuff. Right. And you hear that a lot, like that they want me to chase them and that breath of fresh air you're talking about and those extra things. They're like, well, those are wife duties and everything. And the dude flipped it back and he was like, why do you want to be with me right now? And she was like, because you protect me, because you provide for me. You give me this feel, this safe space and stuff. And he's like, guess what? Those are husband duties, right? You want to be with me because you want to marry me. Those are husband duties. And then he's like, all I'm asking for you is to support me, to be a helpmate to me, to be there when I need you, to, yes, clean up if, you know, I'm coming in late. Make sure dinner's there if I'm coming in late. Have a conversation with me. I'm not saying cook every night, but at the same time, cook some of the nights, right? Do those wifely duties that you're talking about are wifely duties. You got to be my wife before you become my wife. And so if you're not doing those things on the front end, ladies, if you're not going into relationships with that mentality of I'm going to treat you like I'm your wife, you're probably not. It's going to be very difficult for you to become a wife. Because that's what first said. That's what made us marry you.
Okay. I mean, I'm going to go into my question and I'm going to let you guys see if this is a valid question or if it's too similar to what we're talking about, but it's definitely a good segue. So ladies, we talked about you guys and, you know, how to think of things different. And I'm going to challenge the brothers to hopefully maybe learn myself and give inspiration to other guys. So randomly this past weekend, I was watching the Tina Turner documentary. Have either one of you guys seen it? I think it came out in 2021.
Yeah.
I think it was really good. And it was a part, for one, all the respect. Like I had a newfound respect for her after watching the video. I mean, the documentary. I think we all kind of respected Tina Turner just for being this icon that she was, but understanding and, you know, what she went through, but understanding her story and who she really wanted to be. I just never really rocked with her that way because I'm like, she's kind of, you know, she's not what I'm used to, but she really was a rock star. That's what she wanted to be, even though I wanted to put her in this R&B bucket.
Mm-hmm. We wanted like, her to be an R&B. Yeah,
and that explains. Yeah, that's what an older black woman's supposed to be. Like, you ain't supposed to be a rock star, you know, and then you wear these wigs and you have this big hair. It was like, she was a rock star. That's what rock stars look like. The wigs and the big hair and, you know, the dance moves, all this stuff. So just a side note, all the respect in the world for the late, great Tina Turner. But during her interview, she was talking about, you know, we all know about What's Love Got to Do with It and her tumultuous relationship with Ike. And she didn't find love until a very old age. I think she was maybe around 50.
In her 70s, I thought.
She got married in her 70s.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. She started dating. Yeah.
Okay. I think they were dating for 27 years before they got married. And there was an interview when she was talking about dating and she said something and I'm going to paraphrase. She said, after dealing with what she's dealing with, she just wants a strong man to wear the trousers, but not dominate me. And that was like, that makes sense. So my question is, how do you find this balance? How do you become this type of man? Because I feel like society teaches us, you know, one way to do things. They don't really teach us how to be this, you know, to be a leader, but to be compassionate and all this stuff. It's about winning, 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 conquering, 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 you know, be the best alpha male. Like, I don't think we're really taught to balance these things. Does that make sense? Where you want to be this, like she said, she basically, I want this provider, the protector, but also want this guy who's open enough to just let me be me. And I feel like we try to do that. We try to be a balance of that. But it's not natural because the way we're taught is to be the Dominators, to win, to be the champions, to be I Am Man, hear me roar. And when she said that, it made me think, it's like, once again, just like I said, men are taught to nurture and raise kids instinctively. You know, are we kind of being taught the wrong, are we being taught the wrong way to date or to lead?
Possibly taught the wrong way to lead. But you gotta, I guess you need an example of it, but you know, when you ask, how can we find that balance? It's simply put, being a good leader. A good leader does exactly what she asked for. A good leader leads, protects, but doesn't dominate. A good leader listens to his teammates, or subjects, or whatever example you want to use. A good leader values input. A good leader looks at his spouse as his partner and recognizes that they're not always right about a situation. You take your strengths and you apply it to that relationship, and whatever she's better at than you defer to her. And I feel like that's what Tina was saying, was like, I still want, even though she went through what she went through with Ike, she still wanted a strong man. She just didn't want someone that, you know, did even half the stuff he did and just dominated her. She wanted to feel like she mattered, loved, protected, that her opinion was valued and all of that stuff. All of that is being a good leader. It's not winning every argument. It's not forcibly having your way, you know, using your physical strength against a woman. It's not belittling her, talking down to her or anything like that. It's everything that I mentioned. Like,
good answer. I'm gonna come back to what you said, but I want Rizzy to pick it up.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree, Buff. I think so. I did a lot of leadership coaching when I was an agile coach. So 2 years of my career, that's what I did, was teach leaders how to be leaders. And the biggest thing that I had to teach my leaders was empowerment. Like, so many managers, leaders in an organization, what they want to do is they want to tell, right? And that's, I think, what she's talking about, that dominate. It's like, I tell you everything to do. Because I'm leading the household, quote unquote, that means that I tell you what you need to do with your life and with your decisions and everything like that. And what you have to try to get leaders to understand is that you have to empower the people around you to be able to, hey, it's your call. Sometimes it might be a tell, right? There's a continuum there. We talk about it's a sell or it's a tell. And so sometimes I'm gonna try to sell you on it, but it's still your call. Sometimes I'm gonna completely defer to you and it's your call, whatever, you know, and then you live your life and kind of make those decisions. And sometimes it is a tell. It's a 100%, hey, I made this call. This is what we're going to do. And hey, that's how it has to be. And you don't have to deliver that in a negative way. And I think you have to enter into relationships that way too, right? It's like, even if I am the head of the household and I'm that protector and the leadership, but hey, it's your career. You know, I'm not going to tell you what to do with your career. If you want to go this way, that way, whatever, that's on you. But sometimes I'm going to be like, whoa, hey, budget wise for the house, that's not going to work. I had to do that with Jen when she was just like, hey, I want to do all this stuff with Jenica Kimberly all at the same time. And I'm like, whoa, shawty, like, you know, like, we can't do it all. Let's do this. Let's get a plan. Like, and then we collaborated on it, right? And we came up with the plan. So sometimes it is where you just have to kind of put that roadblocks in there and throw the flag up and be like, yo, I'm calling a veto on this. But also you gotta give your spouse that room to be able to throw that red flag and veto too. So even if you do come in with that tail and like, hey, here's what we're about to do, they can just throw that flag and be like, no, I'm vetoing that ain't gonna work for me. So you gotta be able to give and take, but you gotta really empower them to be able to kind of guide them, protect them as a head of household, but at the same time, let them do their thing and let them feel empowered. Because I think a lot of times people will say that, but then don't really give the power up. You know, that person doesn't feel like they can make those calls and decisions. It, guys, I'll tell you, if your lady is calling you like, hey, I need to buy this thing, and they're like scared to do it, that type of thing, there may be an issue there, right? Like, you're being overpowering and you're domineering and dominating. So at a certain point, they got to be able to feel comfortable, be like, yeah, I bought this thing, let me tell you about it, blah, 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 blah. Right. Like, y'all got to talk about that. Y'all got to have that conversation and figure out how much you're going to empower them. But you got to be ready to empower them.
Man, Byron, I said I was going to come back to your statement. I think Rozzy took where I was going to go, because put it this way, I've known you damn near my whole life, since 1992. From what I've seen you as a husband, as in a career wise, you seem like you would make a great leader. I would follow you. Right. I mean, I could work for you. I could work under you. I can work with you. But Rozzy probably can attest to this. That's why he just said he had to train. Most leaders or most managers aren't equipped to train. To lead effectively.
Mm-hmm.
We just assume leading is easy. You can be in a leadership role and not lead. You know, they'll just make the quarterback the team captain. He's not a leader. You know, and the same thing in marriage. And we say this, we say it all the time. People don't quit companies. They quit leadership. They quit management. Mm-hmm. And I think that a lot happens in marriages as well, where we're not taught, or people aren't taught to properly lead. And if you really think about it, this new dynamic, even in the workplace, where you're doing more employee empowerment, trying to human capital management and get the best talent, you know, all the stuff, it's fairly new. You know, employees were just like slaves. You know, there's been a lot of workers, you know, rights and stuff like that in the last couple of years, last generation or two. Prior to then, if you're an employee, you're almost a slave. You know, I go back to, you know, the Christmas Carol. If you're thinking about how this guy, you know, Scrooge was just bullying this guy into working for Christmas, like, this is real life. There were managers and labor unions, people were dying, you know, for starting strikes and stuff like that. And I say all that because this is how leadership was. Like, you can be a tyrant. And unfortunately, that played out into marriages and relationships too. Hence how Ike was beating Tina's ass for years, because he was a dictator in their marriage. And that was the norm. Like, a lot of these, you know, a lot of our parents or their generation, were like, they were in abusive relationships where granddad, you know, ruled with an iron fist, or more so now, and it was more acceptable now. I mean, then, because that's what it was. You know, women didn't have a lot of voice. And I'm not making an excuse, what I'm saying. So the new dynamics of trying to have this relationship where we're working as a partnership and all this stuff, that they had a partnership, but it was a different thing. Women were just kind of like almost employees of the fucking house. You know,
they had to manage up, right? They had to like do kind of underhanded things and work behind the scenes to do it and all of that, you know, like make the husband think it was his idea so that he could get, you know, you could get it done. And they had tricks, and women would teach each other that to be able to survive.
Make him,
that's very different than today. Make him
think he's the king of the house.
Yeah.
Make him think he's the king. Make him feel like the man of the house. Like, those were tricks to kind of, I feel like, to manipulate, which, excuse me, unfortunately they had to do. My thing is, you're not the norm, brother. Rozzy, you're not the norm. There's a lot of women who are just dealing with guys who want to lead. And you hear it all the time. Who want to lead, who aren't equipped to lead. Or they want to lead and they use the Bible verse talking about, you know, submit to your husband. They weaponize that. There's a reason that women are pushing back. And I get what Chyna was saying. It's like, and I'm not making an excuse for the guys, but I'm like, this is almost how you're taught. Everything else in the world teaches you just to go out and dominate. Like, you're supposed to be a protector. You're supposed to be a provider. You're supposed to be all these things, but it doesn't really teach you how to lead and to nurture and to build those things. I mean, we've been in the military where people just abuse power because I outrank you. I can give a damn about how you feel about this. I can give a damn about your expertise. I'm a O4 and you're an E6. I'm an E4 and you're an E3. I remember we were in Afghanistan, they locked our heels because they outranked us by time and grade. We're the same freaking No, we're the same rank. And it's like, it's like people misuse power and their idea of what power should be in this, and you normalize it. And I think that I always say we make marriage this anomaly, but I think it coincides with the rest of society. People don't know how to lead. Like, maybe they should teach more leadership classes in high school and, you know, working that. So when you're in a leadership role, maybe more equipped to lead. Now you understand, like, I'm the leader of the house. This is how I'm supposed to be. I remember FAMS SBI program. When you came in, their business program was almost like a run like a corporation. Mm-hmm. The higher your grade or your rank, the more power you have. So you're a freshman, you're an underling. Like, you come in as a entry level worker. You're doing all this stuff. You're working on projects. Rise is a sophomore. He's a supervisor over these two teams. Byron's a junior. He's a COO. And then you have your seniors who are in the C-suite and doing all these things and yada, yada, yada. But you're taught how to work together and build and get promoted and move up and up, up and up and up. And a lot of people don't get that. The first time they get to, a lot of people never get the lead. And the first chance they get the lead, they're abusing power. Because, I mean, Ike was the same way with the band, if you think about it. He abused Tina. He was a dictator with her. He was a dictator with the band. He was a dictator his whole life. But I feel like that's the only way he knew how to be. And I'm not bumping for Ike at all. You know, but I just feel like that a lot of times we just think that people are being bad or they're just not doing it. It's like they don't know any other way.
Yeah. Yeah,
and need to start teaching people how to lead.
Shout out to Legacy Prep, the school that I sit on the board of. That's entrepreneurial leadership is actually what they're looking at for the theme of the school. And so it's kind of cool that they'll be teaching that. And just like you talked about that project level, corporate levels and things like that, that's what they'll be kind of doing in the school. So, you know, that I agree, Ferg. I think we need to teach that more. And teach that leadership and those leadership qualities and teach the new what we call management 3.0 in the industry. Like, management 3.0 is what you're talking about, that collaborative approach to leadership versus like the hierarchical, you know, I'm the dictator, I'm the manager, you do what I tell you to do type thing. And so we definitely have to reteach that and teach our young men that, yo, that's what life is now. It's not the 1950s anymore. And no, you can't go into a relationship thinking you're just going to rule with iron fist and she just has to submit to you and you get to tell her whatever that's going on and it's my house and you do what I tell you and all that. It don't work that way anymore, especially when women are bringing in half the income or sometimes more of the incomes. Like, you really can't like hold that over their head. I mean, we talk about why so many divorces are happening now, why divorce went up. It's because women can go out and open a bank account and sign a lease and everything without you. They don't need you anymore for that. So you don't have that power over them. Same way people can leave companies, right? Used to be they couldn't leave a company because their pension will go away and they wouldn't have that and they couldn't take the retirement with them and everything. 401ks totally changed that. And that's why we have people moving from company to company now. And they're not staying with companies anymore because they're not tied to it. They don't have to stay with your company anymore. And so I think it's just, we definitely have a shift and we've got to teach our young men about that shift. And there's, and you talked about Buff. We've got a long way to go with a lot of stuff with LGBTQ and all of that. But this is another one. We got a long way to go. There's still a lot of guys that's still in relationship 2.0 and they need to move to relationship 3.0. And figure that out, what relationships look like today.
I saw a guy on Twitter today quoting the Bible on why men should lead, and he quoted that verse, you know, a woman should submit and obey to a man.
It's sad, bro.
You know, I'm gonna leave with this because I hear this, I see this more and more. I see more people saying, I wish we could critique or grade our management. Like, they do an annual review, and a lot of progressive companies do that. Where,
yeah, 360.
You're giving me an annual review, but we're doing a 360 review. You know, did I give you what I did? And even then, is a lot of times you're not going to just tell you my manager sucked because you don't want the backlash from it. But being able to get that feedback. You know, it's usually I'm telling you what you're doing wrong, but you can't accept that I'm saying, hey, this is what I need to be better. If you're supposed to be leading and managing and helping me grow and prosper, this is what I need from you. I've left two companies because of bad management in the last 3 years. Bad management would change it. And I always say, imagine like a company being your job being like a marriage, where once you start this job, it's for better or for worse, to death do us part. I would be miserable. You know, so with that being said, fellas, go ahead and do our parting shots.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I just want to say shout out to Gabriel Simmons. So that's our classmate, class of 99 at John L. LaFleur. She was appointed by Governor Kay Ivey to the parole board. That's a huge, huge appointment to get a gubernatorial appointment. So that's huge. Shout out to her. Shout out to class of 99. Love LaFleur. Speaking of LaFleur, it's almost time for all class. So don't forget, football season just started. It's popping off. I think we won the first game in our brand new stadium. Shout out to y'all for that. And I am excited for all class this year based on that.
Isn't Ryan Powell the coach? Coach Powell?
I believe so.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, so congratulations, Ryan. He went to school with us as well. I think he was either 2000 or 2001. So congrats on that first victory. The season in our new stadium. So I was going to hit on that, bro. You stole my thunder.
I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry.
That's all you got?
Yeah, that's it, man.
I am getting nervous. And it's not because political experts are telling me. It's because it's what I said way back in 2020. When Biden ran for president, I wanted him to win and do one term. And during that term, groom whomever he picked as VP, it wound up being Kamala Harris, groom that person to be the candidate for 2024, and additional Democratic candidates could jump in and we choose from there. I know Biden has done a lot of good things during his one term, and I'm happy for that. Unemployment is below 4%. We've outpaced nearly every country in the world when it comes to lowering inflation. We're adding like more than 300,000 jobs a month. With that said, he's old. And we talked about ageism on this show before and whether or not that was fair or not. Was that the last of the isms that was okay to do? I forgot what the answers were, but I know they were different answers. But not only is he losing black support, like Razio mentioned at the top of the show, but he's going beyond gaffes. Like he is having like before our eyes, like huge, I can't even call them memory lapses. It's like he's remembering history in a whole different way. He said that he was one of the ones that convinced Strom Thurmond to vote for the Civil Rights Act. There's a couple of things wrong with that. One, Strom Thurmond did not vote in favor of the Civil Rights Act. Two, he was not in the Senate when the Civil Rights Act passed. Three of all the senators for him to name, Strom Thurmond is I messed up my serious point, but he filibustered Civil Rights Act in I think 1957, something like that. Biden didn't even come into the Senate until 1973. So it's just 2023. We still got a whole nother year to go. I mentioned how he won't be able to use COVID to hide this time. He's going to have to campaign. And the more he's out there, the more we're going to see, I think, things like this. So I am worried. I still hope if it comes down to him in 45 that he pulls it out. But I think we're essentially voting for Harris now. Like, yeah. a vote for him is essentially a vote for Harris. So it's going to get my concern out there. I hope I'm proved wrong. We shall see. It's a long way to go. But just wanted to go on record as saying that, man. I'm a little concerned.
Do you think one or two things is happening? One, like we said, Republicans is just better at politics, because that should have been the answer, right? Is groom her, let her take over, and maybe get three Democratic terms, right? Because it's very easy for him to shift that power, and then she gets an incumbency, which usually gives her that second term. So we would have had three terms of Democrats. But do you think he's waiting until it's too late for anybody else to jump in to announce and pull out? So then she'd be kind of the de facto candidate?
I do. I thought if he was going to pull out, it would have been after the midterms. And he had a very good showing historically during the midterm. So I thought if he was going to say, hey, I'm only doing one term, that was going to be the time after the midterms were over. So I don't think that's going to happen though.
Yeah, I still have my fingers crossed that that's what's going to happen.
You're holding out hope for that? Okay.
Yeah, that he'll just, you know, it's too late for a primary, so Kamala just kind of automatically takes it and becomes the candidate or the nominee for the Democrats, because it's so late in the game that, you know, they have no choice.
But could she beat Trump?
Yeah.
So it's all pointless if.
Yeah. His candidacy does worry me, but I don't want to talk like he's unbeatable. He's ran in two elections. He's never won the majority of the popular vote. I know that doesn't mean as much as electoral, but what I'm saying is when he has won, it was barely. You know what I mean? And so she can win. I think more people, like the people that are feeling anxious about Biden like I am, they probably will be more enthusiastic about her. But I mean, you could be right. She could push more people towards him. Like, they can say she's not ready or whatever the case may be. I'm not voting for a black woman. All those things can come into play.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, two things real fast. One is welcome back to school. I think everybody's officially back in school now. HISD, Sci Fair Sky, and TJ's first day of school was yesterday. So everybody's back in school. Be safe. You know what I realized? I was dropping Sky off at the at school yesterday, and TJ and I were talking too. He's 4, and she was telling me this morning that they were practicing drills. You know, like fired, because she's at a new drill. She's in third, meaning the school. She's in third grade, so they transfer schools. So fire drills, tornado drills, hurricane drills, and all that stuff. My 4-year-old son said, "We do lockdown drill, Dad."
Mm-hmm.
That's the world we live in.
Yep.
Did y'all practice lockdown drills in?
No.
No.
We didn't.
I don't even think we practiced that in high school.
I think
that is the world we're in. My son is in pre-K, people. That's crazy. And so I was like, man, now that I think about it, so I feel safer for my kids during the summer because I just don't know when or where the next school shooting is going to be, because it's going to happen every year. It's going to happen. I hope they prove me wrong and it doesn't happen this year, but it's going to happen. The fact that a 4-year-old knows about a lockdown drill blows my mind. Secondly, on a more positive note, Black Girl Magic again. Simone Biles just won her 8th national championship. Mm-hmm. So she's the best in the U.S. She has more victories than anybody. She's been winning this thing for years. She's doing her thing. Welcome back, Simone Biles. She's been off for 2 years. She won a U.S. national meet last week, and then she followed up with another big victory this week. So congratulations. I love to see people out there doing their thing. And with that being said, 3 Brothers No Sense, 6 Rules of Podcast, listen, like, share, subscribe, comment, and most importantly,
listen again.
Listen again.
Infamously.
Hilarious.